All right, folks. Well, we're going to kick off. We got a good bit of ground to cover, and then we're going to have a little discussion afterwards, okay? So on your outline, you'll see there should be a green outline and kind of a soft purple outline. I don't know what other color. Is that lavender, Pam? What is that? So what we want to do is just kind of real quick hit some high points on that green outline from last week, and then we're going to go into really looking at how to discover your spiritual gifts. There's kind of three facets we're really focusing on. Pastor Reeder is guiding that with the discover, the development, and deployment of our spiritual gifts. And so we're in that discovery phase. And so what we're going to look at is several truths, some things we need to kind of pay attention to and implement in our life in order for us to identify our spiritual gifts. And then we'll look at some very practical, pragmatic ways of doing that. And these questions are going to help us look at some observed behaviors that we have, some experiences that we have, and maybe even some expectations that we have. So we're going to look at that here in just a moment. But going back to last week, you'll see that there's five areas that we're studying with kind of identifying the shape that the Lord's blessed us with. And, of course, that's an... Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. There's one and two. But you'll see that acronym, SHAPE, identifies five areas of study. And of course, this is a 7-week study. And then what we're going to do is we're going to do this again. We're going to do a little different twist the next 7 weeks. So this 7 weeks, we're going to look at the SHAPE. And the next 7 weeks, we're going to look at a different aspect of the SHAPE. But we're going to look more at moving from mere awareness to service. And I call that the acts of ministry, where you go from being aware, you develop conviction and compassion. And then the T is looking at your time, talents, and treasure. And then the S is service, actually engagement. And so we're going to look at that 7 weeks from now. But right now, we're looking at these five areas that we will study, SHAPE. And the first one, of course, is the S, and that stands for spiritual gifts, which we're going to extrapolate tonight. And then heart, abilities, personality, and experiences, okay? And so looking at all five of those areas to try to really discover how the Lord has uniquely fashioned us, as it says in Psalm 139. And so that's kind of the highlight of that. And then you see there on the green sheet, you kind of kicked off that principles of spiritual gifts there under the third heading. And you looked at 1 Corinthians 12, 1-27. We're going to revisit that passage tonight, but we're going to revisit just three verses there. And then you see some truths about spiritual gifts, that every Christian has one, and God has sovereignly placed each Christian into the body of Christ, so there's a plurality to this study. Yes, we're asking you to look at your individual spiritual gifts, but that is not separate from looking at how they come together in this beautiful tapestry within the body of Christ. And we have to have the body of Christ for us to truly exercise our gifts, which we'll talk in more detail about here in just a moment. But then, of course, on the back of that sheet, you'll see there was some group discussion and then assignments for this week. So if you didn't get a chance to kind of go through those questions, I want to encourage you this next week, as you look at what we call growth work instead of homework, growth work, to not only look at what we're offering on this page right here, but also on the green page as well. Working through that this next week, if you would like to do that. Come on in. Hey. Here's the outline for tonight right here. Tell you what, Jim, if you don't mind, can I give you some of these outlines? And if people come in, they just hand them to them, and I'll give you a couple of these surveys, too, if you don't mind. That way I won't lose them all up here on the... Thank you. All right. So that brings us to tonight, and that is discover your spiritual gifts. So I want to spend a little time talking about how to discover your spiritual gifts. And we'll start off here at the very beginning with what exactly a spiritual gift is. A spiritual gift is, the Greek word there is charisma. It's a grace gift. It's something that we don't generate in and of ourselves. We can't generate it. No matter how much you try, it's different than an ability that is honed in by experience, by expertise, by genetic makeup. A spiritual gift is truly a special measure that the Lord gives us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the person of the Holy Spirit gives us this measure of grace that becomes a gift that we can use. And so what exactly is the definition of a spiritual gift? You see there on your outline, it is a special attribute graciously given by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit to equip a Christian to fulfill their specifically designed function in the body of Christ to further the kingdom of God for the glory of God. So when you look at that definition, what are some keys that kind of jump out at you about the definition of a spiritual gift? What are some truths there that jump out? One's what I've already mentioned.
No, it's not a bus.
It's not a bus. Exactly right. Exactly right. What's that now? Yeah. Yeah, graciously given. It's given to the measure that needs to be given. So when we exercise our spiritual gift, we should never think that we don't have enough. If God has given us what is required of the job, then He has graciously given us enough. Another thing, too, I want to point out is that this is very God-centered. This spiritual gift should always point others to God. There should be a compass in the gift that directs people to God and not to us. And when you look at spiritual gifts, of course, you see that there's serving gifts and there's speaking gifts, which we're going to talk about here in just a moment. But I also like to say that there's the in the front of the curtain gifts and the behind the curtain gifts. And in the front of the curtain gifts, many times, teaching, leadership, other gifts that are in public view can tempt people to point others to themselves. But we are called, as we use those gifts, to constantly give glory to God, which that's what he speaks to right here. And then, of course, we realize that spiritual gifts produce unity and love. We look at Ephesians 4, we see that they produce unity and love, leading to full maturity in the body of Christ. They encourage and edify other Christians and evangelize non-Christians. So when we're using these gifts together, we're encouraging one another, we're edifying one another as believers in Christ, but we're also showing the world that we're different. And they see Christ through us. And that's why it's ever so important to have a mindset of plurality in the gifts. I'll never forget the other church that I served with before I came to Briarwood. We decided to kind of scrap our vacation Bible school for a different program. And we did a sports camp, which was very focused on our community. We got away from our campus, and we went to a complex that had a bunch of sports fields. And there was really three areas that we were looking to do this, with soccer, cheerleading, and then flag football. And in order for us to do this, we were a church at the time of about 380 people. And in order for us to do this, we had to have a lot of volunteers. And you can imagine us trying to facilitate this, from getting the equipment out to the field to actually facilitating the event, the devotionals, the practice with the kids, serving food. We needed a plethora of spiritual gifts coming together to work this out. And for our little church, we figured it to be about 180 volunteers. Well, that doesn't sound like much at Briarwood, but it's a lot for our church. And I was hesitant. I thought maybe we've bitten off more than we can chew. And here we are at the 11th hour. We're about to go into this thing. And in order for us to really do it well, with excellence, we got to have that many volunteers. And the Lord not only blessed us with 180, we had about 203, I think, volunteers. And it was amazing just to stand at the field and watch all these different pods of over 300 kids that came from the community and their parents on the sidelines watching this happen, and just see all these spiritual gifts working together and this huge witness to the community. And I always think back, there's other examples that I have, but I always think back to that example of how God showed up in an amazing way, because otherwise we wouldn't have been able to do that. So you see this great encouragement, edification, and evangelism. So how do we discover these spiritual gifts? Well, a couple things here. We want to earnestly pray and examine the Scriptures. We're going to break that down here in just a moment. We want to evaluate. I would even say explore and evaluate. Okay, so we're going to explore into regions of our life that maybe we've never looked at. And then we're going to evaluate areas or regions in our life that we have before, and they just need to be revisited. And then we're going to engage and exercise our spiritual gifts. So in order for us to discover, there's a very volitional aspect to this, okay? Yes, are we going to sit down and do inventories? Yes. Are we going to ask questions? Are we having discussion? Yes. But there's a linchpin in this, and that is the volitional aspect of going out and tasting and seeing what the Lord has gifted you with. And so we don't want to miss that. A couple of quotes about spiritual gifts from some people you guys may know. Sinclair Ferguson, he says, spiritual gifts are given through the Spirit of Christ to equip believers to serve one another in the body of Christ and thus to set on display the unity of the church in the context of its diversity and vice versa. For this, love is essential. And you see there again, Ephesians 4, that passage, beautiful passage. And Benny will go into that in more detail next week, that particular passage. And then we see here, R.C. Sproul says, the Spirit gives these gifts to Christ's church to empower the people of God to carry out the mission that Christ gave to His people, to bear witness to Him to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so you see that dynamic of encouragement, edification, and evangelism, and how they all come together there. So I wanted to give you guys those quotes. So let's look at earnest prayer and examining or examine the Scriptures. The first thing I want to look at here is a couple of verses that God calls us to call to Him. And the first one we're going to look at is Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah says this, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." Of course, Jeremiah is speaking the words of God there. And when I read this particular passage, I'm very encouraged by it, for obvious reasons. But what encourages me most is that the God of the universe tells me and tells you that we can call to Him and He will answer us. And not only will He answer us, which is enough, but He will give us insights into great and hidden things that we have not known. What a great promise that is, right? And that is not a static event. That's a dynamic event. So He continues to give us that opportunity to seek His face and to seek His understanding and to seek His wisdom. There's an Instagram page of this group of scientists that have taken shots from our different satellites out in space, and they put together these pictures, and they download them on Instagram, and I find it fascinating. And there's one picture, I don't even know how they did it, but it's a link of like 20 different galaxies. And they're showing it from a distance. And you can see all these beautiful, very distinct, very unique galaxies kind of linked together. And they have a specific name for it. I can't remember what the name is. But from one end of this particular picture that they show, from one end to the other, represents, I think they said, 100 billion light years of distance. And guys, we can't even fathom that. And our God created that. And He tells us if we call to Him, He will show us great and hidden things. The vastness of His knowledge, of His wisdom, we can't even begin to outlive it. We will be able to connect with this forever with Him. And so then we look here at Luke 11:9-10, and Christ says this, "And I will tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened." And so you see this progressive nature of pursuing the truth of God, pursuing His face, pursuing looking to Him for all knowledge and wisdom. And this progressive nature, I think, sticks out to me because there again, it is volitional. It's volitional in the sense that we aren't merely just sitting still and asking, but we're moving and seeking. We're getting into His Word. We're praying. We're looking for godly counsel. We're seeking out for those things. It's an exercise that's good even beyond just finding out what your spiritual gifts are. It's an exercise that's good to develop as a habit in your life, in our lives. And then lastly, that knocking, that engaging, that literal knocking of, please open up and come to me, Lord. Give me wisdom. Give me insight. Give me understanding. And so there again, a great passage looking at how to earnestly pray. And then lastly, Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And so here again, going back to that whole idea, is prayer static? Do we reach an apex spiritually and we get to the mountaintop and go, okay, I got to figure it out, Lord? Obviously not, right? But in our lives, we never get too old, we never get too far, we never get too experienced not to continually, steadily, consistently pray to the Lord. And do it with thanksgiving. So we're looking to the Lord with thanksgiving, knowing that the truth is He hears us and that He answers us. And even if that answer doesn't seem like it's the same thing we thought it should be, He does answer us. And so that's the first aspect. And here, when you're looking at your spiritual gifts, since this is really something that the Lord wants us to use in our lives and is very important, I believe, and I would say that I was guilty of this initially. Initially, I think I looked at spiritual gifts as more of a kind of an exercise where you do an inventory, you get these answers back, and you go, okay, that's who I am, and kind of move forward. Rather than truly going, okay, Lord, show me how this gift is going to benefit the body and glorify you. Show me, Lord, how I can use this gift and maximize it. Not just simply have it and say, that's who I am. Yeah, I'm gifted in leadership or administration, but show me how I can use this. And show me, Lord, what sins prevent me from maximizing this and break my heart over those sins and bring me to a point of conviction and repentance, confession and repentance, so that I can maximize those gifts you blessed me with. Help me not to quench the Spirit. Help me to truly, truly pursue that. And I think that's what earnest prayer does. And of course, it leads us into examining the Scriptures. And we see what happens in Acts 17:11. Jim, I'm going to get you to turn to Acts 17:11 for me and read that for me, brother. We see a very noble group of people in Acts 17:11. So what we have here is we have Paul moving into an area, region, the Berean region, the Berean people, and he's moved out of Thessalonica where he's had some issues. Not to say that everybody in Thessalonica is bad folks, but there's been some conflict there. And he goes to Berea, and what he realizes is when he says something, the Bereans just don't take him at face value. They do what? They go back and they examine the Scriptures. He goes, is what this guy's saying true? And they didn't do it ever so often. They did it daily, it says. And they eagerly did it. But they eagerly examined the Scriptures. So does God talk about spiritual gifts in the Scriptures? Yeah, He does. Does He talk about spiritual gifts beyond these passages that we're focusing on? Yes, He does. And I would encourage you, as you examine these passages we've given you, to go into the Word of God and systematically look through the Old Testament and New Testament to parallel passages. And I would even encourage you to do this, because this has been an activity that I've done that's helped me a ton in learning how to teach this and even exercise it in my own life, is to see not characters, because it isn't fictional, but the people in the Bible who have certain spiritual gifts and identify them and see how they were used. Do those studies, those person studies of Moses and his particular personality and his particular spiritual gifts, of David, of Noah, of Paul. I mean, some great examples would be, obviously Paul had to have one very prevalent, very forthright gift, and what was that? He had to be an evangelist, right? I mean, he had a heart for evangelism, and he was so kingdom-focused in evangelism, and not only did he have a heart for it, but he had confirmation because he had a lot of people come to the Lord. Peter had the gift of preaching, obviously. That was one, and I think he also had the gift of evangelism. Peter preaches at Pentecost, and you got a ton of people coming to the Lord, right? You look at Moses. Moses had the gift of administration. And here's a guy leading millions of people. And it's interesting to me, and I don't want to, this is a little bit of a sidebar, but it's interesting to me how God matured that gift in his experience in Egypt, in his experience with his father-in-law, and how he put him in a position with his experiences, with his training, and with his gift mix to do what he was able to do. Not to mention the fact that he wrote a lot of the Old Testament, right? So we can go on and on with that, but definitely examine the scriptures. And so we're going to look at two key passages tonight. I know last week you looked at 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 27. We're going to dive back into that real quick tonight and look. And then also 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. So let's go there and look at those two passages. I'll pull them up here for you to have. That 1 Corinthians passage 12, 4 through 7, I want to call out a few things here on this. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So here we have, there again, and I keep using this term, we have a very, I'll say active instead of volitional now, we have a very active faith. Because what we see is that God gives us three categoried giftings here. We have the gifts, we have the service, and we have the activities. And these are all engaging, right? These aren't set and soak activities. These are actually engaging. And then what we see is that they're all empowered by God. And they're empowered to everyone who is a Christian, okay? Because he's talking to a Christian audience right here. He's talking to the church, all right? And to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for what? For the common good. So there again, looking back at that corporate aspect of our spiritual gifts. You know, I picture the church like a big, huge jigsaw puzzle. And I don't know about you guys. If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. When my kids were younger, we would pull out the box. And, you know, depending on how many pieces it was, it took a little while to work through the puzzle, right? And then just so happened mysteriously there's some pieces that disappear. And you work through and you're looking at this picture on the box and you're looking at what you have and there's this big gap. What do you fixate on? The gap, right? On what's missing. You don't fixate on the part of the picture that's there. It's kind of the 90-10 rule. You look at the 10% instead of the 90%. And in many ways with our church, when we don't have our members working together with their spiritual gifts, we have that gap. But when we do have everybody working together in spiritual gifts, what a beautiful picture of Christ. And other people see that beautiful picture. And it encourages us. And it's also interesting to me that each piece has that unique fitting, that unique angle, that unique DNA. And that's the way the Lord gives us. Not only does He give us a physical DNA, He gives us a spiritual DNA. And so it's exciting to be able to be a part of that and know that it's a manifestation of God's Holy Spirit. For the common good. It works for our good together as a body of believers and for the world who looks at us through that lens. So that moves us to the next passage, this common good model. In 1 Peter, Peter talks about how these gifts work together and he categorizes them right here. And if you've ever really paid attention to what Pastor Reeder says about gifts, he speaks of those two categories out of this text, out of this passage. You see here in 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11, Peter says this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What a beautiful passage. Some of the truths I want to pull from that, too, real quick, is you have two categories of spiritual gifts that most people will refer to, and those are your speaking gifts and your serving gifts. Now, do some of those gifts overlap? Sure. I've even heard one guy say that gifts can be even categorized in the three offices of Christ: priestly gifts, prophet gifts, and kingship gifts. But any way you categorize them, what happens is it helps you to have a better idea and concept of how they actively work together. And we see this with Peter. He's saying that we should serve one another as what? As good stewards. So if we're good stewards, what does that mean about the gifts? It's not a trick question. They're not ours, right? The other guys, right? We're just stewards of them. So that's the first thing. And what I like is this term right here, and I want to clarify it. God's varied grace. Now, I've actually had somebody teaching this for about 15 years, and I tried to estimate today. I think it's been over about 2,000 people that have taken spiritual gifts I've been able to be a part of, and I'm very thankful for that. But I had a couple people have asked me, does that mean that different people have different levels of grace? Some people have saving grace and other people don't have saving grace? No. This grace is beyond the saving grace. This saving grace is a grace that we all have that is in Christ and Christ alone. It is the saving grace that saves us unto salvation, and that is not varied. It's not like Jim's got a better chance of salvation than I do, or Randy has less of a chance of salvation than Michael does. That's definitely not true. I'm just kidding. But seriously, but that is not the case. This very grace means the distinction in the spiritual gifts and how they're given through the manifestation of the Spirit. Okay. And so what does he go on to say? What does Peter go on to say? And this is a guy, by the way, early in his Christian maturity, he put his foot in his mouth quite often. I really appreciate Peter because I identify with him in so many ways. 24 hours before Christ was crucified, he stuck his foot in his mouth several times and, for all means and purposes, did not show leadership capability. But yet God did an amazing thing with him. Look at John 21 and see how he reinstated Peter there by the fireside. And it's fascinating. And what Peter does is I think he walks away with that going, you know what, this is all about him and not about me. Because I've tried to do it, and I messed it up. I've tried to do this, and it's just bad. So I'm trusting him. So when I speak, I'm going to do the oracles of God, truths of God, his word. Not my opinion, not what Billy Bob down the street said, not what this intelligent guy over here said, but the oracles of God, the truth of God. And when I serve, I'm going to serve by what? By the strength that God supplies, not by my own strength. Because the truth is, when we serve out of our own strength, we do what? We end up burning out in ministry. I feel like I'll see that quite often when people, I can tell that they really are serving out of obligation rather than the passion that God's laid in their heart. And many times what happens, how that practically looks is, let's face it, everybody in every ministry, even here at Briarwood, you have a champion in every ministry. And that champion of that ministry can convince you that it's the best ministry you could possibly ever be involved with. And they should, right? But when we tell everybody yes, then what happens is we start serving out of obligation. And then we start resourcing our own strength. We try to resource it to keep all the balls in the air. When really we need to take a step back and go, okay, Lord, how have you wired me up? Let me have a better yes. So I can tell some people no. If I don't have a better yes, I can't tell anybody no. And it's okay to say no some of the times. Because that way you can serve in that yes lane more effectively and with passion. Does that make sense? So that's what I would encourage you to do. Look at your bandwidth. Look at your capacity. Look at the way the Lord's wired you up this season of life. What do you have available? What can you do? What can you not do? So, I think that's what they're, again, kind of looking through that service of, by God's strength. And then in order what? So that God is glorified through Jesus Christ. And then, of course, Peter ends that with a beautiful statement. To him belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So those are some of the passages, many, many more. That by far is not exhaustive, but that's just to encourage you to dive into the Scripture. So I'm going to wrap up here, and we're going to go into discussion. Look at these two areas, and really these are some questions to kind of gets you moving in that direction of evaluation, maybe a little exploration, and then, of course, engaging in an exercise. So let's look at evaluation. First of all, we want you to complete the spiritual gift inventory. And let me tell you this, if you've taken it already and you say, Ray, I just don't know if that's correct, I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. One, we've got plenty, so take another one, okay? And when you take it with your first inclination and who you really are, not who you think you should be, okay? I jokingly tell people, do it with your honest answer, not the Sunday school answer. Because this is how that plays out. People think, well, I should share my faith, right? And so they come to the questions about evangelism, and they're not sharing their faith. And they're scared to death to share their faith that way. But yet they feel compelled to, so they answer it with a Sunday school answer. I've had people actually come to me, and they score real high on evangelism, and they're like, Ray, I don't even like talking to people. I'm such an introvert. I'm like, well, you just skewed it, because you answered it the way you thought you should, rather than who you really are. So we got plenty of them. Jim's got some over there. Take it and do that, okay? First inclination, all right? And I would encourage you to definitely have that done by next week, and that's part of that growth work, all right? And then here's some questions to ask. Ask yourself these questions, and there are really five of them. What area of service am I most effective in building up others and moving forward the work of Christ in the church? Okay, so draw from experience. And you say, well, Ray, I've been a Christian in a couple of months. I really don't have that experience to draw from. That's okay. That's all right. Move on to the next question. Give it as much as you can. Give what you think you might be good at. Give what you think you might be effective at. What area of service for Christ seems most natural for me to do? There again, serving out of passion rather than obligation. Okay? We're developing that good yes. What area of service do I most readily notice what needs to be done and can pretty easily see, understand how to do it? So here again, these are all observed behaviors, observed experience, you know, walking through these questions as you evaluate this next week. These are good questions to ask. And listen, don't answer these questions abstractly. Answer them concretely. Put it down on a piece of paper. Because then you see patterns, you see trends, and it communicates better to you. Okay? Alright, then the last two. And this is internal and external confirmation here, okay? What area of service gives me energy and biblical joy when I do it? That's an internal confirmation. And only you can answer that. Alright? People ask all the time, well, Ray, this is the way I score, but I really don't know if that's true or not. Well, go out, taste and see, and then come back and ask this question. Do I feel like that gives me biblical joy? Do I feel like that energizes me, or does it deplete me? You know, looking at that, of course, give it more than one shot. Give it a couple of tries. And then what area of service do I receive positive feedback from others? This is external confirmation, okay? I promise you this, nobody in this room would doubt that Pastor Reeder is an excellent preacher, and he has the gift of preaching and teaching, right? Do you think he gets external confirmation in that back area behind the sanctuary every Sunday? He does. Yeah. He does. And what happens is we have to be careful not to lean too much into that, because then we start owning it. But to realize that that external confirmation is something that God sends us to encourage us. And we have a platform right then and right there to give Him glory. To give Him glory. So I would strongly encourage you and encourage myself to do that if you receive that kind of positive feedback. Okay, so there's your evaluation, all right? And so then we're going to move real quick here to the other aspect of this, and that is asking others who you know well for feedback. This is fun. Your spouse, your best friend, people that you know well, maybe an elder in your church, another pastor, somebody that you can trust, somebody that's got a little bit of rapport with, somebody that actually knows you. These are good people to ask this question, all right? Looking at the spiritual gifts definitions, which are in the back of your survey there, what area of service do you believe I am most effective in building up others and moving forward the work of Christ? Now, here's the key. When you go to that person, don't tell them what you've already scored. All right? You're going to tilt that a little bit. Just go to them and simply ask these questions without giving them any information beforehand. All right? And then, what areas do I seem most drawn to and seem to enjoy most? Here again, asking somebody else this question. If you give them the freedom to be honest with you, you're going to get some incredible information here. You're going to get some very valuable information. It's going to be very helpful. Okay? What areas in the church do you think I should try to serve in? And then lastly, what other thoughts should I consider in trying to determine my spiritual gifts? These are all great questions to ask somebody else. So, with that said, you see those questions about evaluation. Now, this last section is questions about engagement and exercise. All right? So we're going to wrap up with these. What areas are you currently serving in the church and for the work of Christ? So ask yourself that question. If you're involved in a paraministry, if you're involved in a community ministry outside of any particular church that's not connected with the church, also list that as well. List any area of ministry that you may be involved with. Okay? And then how is it going in those areas? Are you enjoying it? Are you effective? This is more of a metrics question. Okay? It's a good metrics question to ask yourself. And then what areas of service are you interested in where you have not previously served? And so I'm gonna plug these last two here. Start serving, have fun serving, keep serving until you find your spiritual gift. Now, that's my area of the church right there. That's where I want to help you. Okay? God has a wonderful plan for you, and I want to help you find it. And that's not just a cliche. I mean, it's the truth. And so getting people involved, getting them assimilated, I want to help you. Angie Nugent, who's a part of our team, she's our assimilation coordinator. She does a fantastic job with this. We want to help in whatever way we can. So when you get to this place where you start asking questions, you go, you know what? I really want to serve more. I want to broaden that. Come to us. Let's talk about it. Of course, Benny obviously is available as well as he continues to study with you guys.